very deep drop. He's looking left, passing left, intercepted! It's intercepted by Xavier Rhodes, the first interception of his National Football League career, and Jay Cutler threw it right to him.
Welcome in. It's another edition of Everything Purple, and I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from Xfinity Studios. I'm here to guide you on a 30-minute tour of some of the best content the Vikings Entertainment Network had to offer over the past week. What you just heard was a first, the first interception of Xavier Rhodes' career. Hopefully, he'll have many more. We're going to talk about a great Vikings alumni later in the show. We're going to hear from a famous country musician later in the show. But first, joining me on this week's Wobcast was Voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, and we had a discussion about the final 6 weeks of the regular season. With six games to go, I've written down six goals for the Vikings to accomplish this season, and I want you to comment on each one.
I'd love to.
Okay, here we go. Number one goal for the final six games is develop Teddy Bridgewater.
I think that's the number one goal of the entire team. You know, when you have a head coach who is a defensive-minded coach, and your defense comes into the Bears game fourth in the NFL in passing defense and third in sacks, off that stuff we saw last year, it's working defensively, and it still needs to get better, and it will, and they probably still need some more personnel changes, but that defense jumped up big time. Offensively speaking, we have regressed, and there are things that play into it, including not having Adrian Peterson around the majority of the year or just one game, but this rookie quarterback has so many good qualities to him, and when you watch it back critically, you see the natural leadership skills and the scholar of the game aspect that he has that you can't teach. I mean, you can teach guys to find guys open, have a nice big arm and everything, but some of the things Bridgewater does, you can't teach, and you need to perfect that and get him more confident, come back next year, have a better quarterback.
All right, now, to develop Teddy, things have to happen around him for him to look good, but he can't control those things, the pass protection, receivers getting open, some of those things he can't control.
I agree.
So how do you factor that into seeing him, wanting him to develop and then to assess that development
right
if things aren't going right around him?
Well, see, Wobby, I don't think it's fair to give him a grade at the end of the year. I mean, we will do it because the public will want it, but without the – I don't think this offensive line we see now necessarily will be what we see next year. I mean, you have a starter out at right guard. If Fusco comes back, he might win back his job. You should have Rudolph for more games. Who knows who the tailback's going to be? Who knows what they're going to do in the draft?
Right.
One thing you do know is that your quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, has faced a fair amount of adversity this year and never has complained about it. In the Redskins game, he overshot Jennings and Patterson. They both should have been touchdowns. Never complained about it. Fought back and won the game. Again, that's stuff with Bridgewater that you can't teach, and we have it.
All right, number two, goal number two for the final six games of the regular season, Cordarrelle Patterson progressing. Just like we want to establish and progress Teddy Bridgewater, I think we want to do the same with Cordarrelle Patterson. Granted, no Adrian Peterson for most of the season. That has probably hurt our plans with Cordarrelle, and we've had to adjust on the fly there.
Yep.
But certainly he's a guy who, going into his third season next year, we're going to want to see marked improvement from him. Now, in defense of him, this is his third different offense in three seasons. So we got to cut him a little bit of slack there. But don't you think we want to see a big step forward from 84?
Wobby, this is the time last year that he took off.
Yeah.
With all due respect to one of my favorite guys on the team, I am not counting on him taking off this year. I am predicting at the end of the year, from my standpoint, I'm going to have to draw lines with the whole thing and forget about this season with Cordarrelle Patterson, see who the tailback is next year, and see what his second year in Norv Turner's offense looks like with a second-year quarterback.
Okay.
I completely agree with you on the Adrian Peterson take. With all due respect to McKinnon, Asiata, and everybody else, I feel when you have a home run hitter like Peterson, the defense has to focus on it differently than
right
the cast we have now.
But I don't want to draw a line through the season here, especially the final six games. I want him to work on things and do things to get better, and I want Norv and company to figure out how to use them.
I do too.
Yeah.
And I'm just making a prognostication that I don't think this current group is capable of getting out of Cordarrelle Patterson what we got last year when the season lost its playoff probability. People played a little more loosely. You had a 9-10-year veteran at quarterback, and you had Adrian Peterson. I think those threats are gone. It's about raising Teddy Bridgewater, making this defense better, coming back next year, and having to be exponentially better than it is now.
All right, goal number three for the final six games of the regular season, Anthony Barr, get him to be Defensive Rookie of the Year.
I still think he may be leading that. It's, you know, he had his worst game of the year at Chicago, in my opinion, with several missed tackles, and he never really splashed. On the Jay Cutler long touchdown pass to Brandon Marshall, Barr was an inch from sacking him and drove him into the turf. Anthony was close on a lot of plays in what you can deem his worst game of the year. He's unbelievably good. If he doesn't win Defensive Rookie of the Year, I'm still super happy he's on the Minnesota Vikings. But I still think he's kind of in the lead for that. C.J. Mosley, Khalil Mack, Kyle Fuller, Aaron Donald all of a sudden has four sacks for the St. Louis Rams.
Yep.
And they beat Seattle and they beat Denver, and he's starting to play a lot. So you're going to have a 5 or 6 horse race to the wire. Barr has plenty of time to win that race, and honestly, I think he will.
All right, I'm glad you brought up a horse racing reference, because I have another one to bring to you. Mm-hmm. You call races at Canterbury. Let's win a game gate to wire.
Yeah.
We have Teddy Bridgewater, who is 3-3 as a starter. All three wins are come from behind wins. Now, we started out in the lead against Atlanta, gave up the lead, had to come back. Let's win a game gate to wire.
Yeah, and how about winning the Packers game gate to wire?
Okay.
I mean, long shots have won at the Breeders' Cup, long shots have won at Canterbury Park. It would be a long shot to grab a lead on Aaron Rodgers and never look back. But it's a divisional game. So scoring a touchdown first on Green Bay, it's not like it's never happened in the history of the world.
Right.
Everybody wants to look back at the last two games and say, well, 98 Vikings, forget about you. Kurt Warner's Rams, forget about you. Undefeated Patriots until the end, forget about you, because they've scored 50 in consecutive games.
Right.
At home, later games, a lot of things went in their favor. Score a touchdown on them, get them to go 3 and out. Score another touchdown, open up 14-0.
Here we go. Now we're going.
People listening to the Wobcast at Vikings.com right now may say, okay, well, that means you'll only lose 28-14.
Right.
Okay, whatever. At least put a little stress on this green and gold. Try to get our team to go gate to wire.
Right. All right, let's go. Let's dig a little bit deeper for goal number five.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about special teams, which, you know, you and I have talked about this a lot. Since Mike Prefer has been here, our special teams have been some of the best in the NFL, whether you're talking about Cordarrelle Patterson and Marcus Sherrills last year and the punt returns that they had, and Blair Walsh performing the way he has. I want to look at our punt team over the final six games. I want to get better at pinning teams inside the 20, inside the 10. I want the net punting to go up. I want Jeff Locke, to me, has a lot of talent, and I think he's still trying to feel his way through to be an NFL punter. But I see a guy with a lot of talent and a guy that I believe in. And over the last six games, I'd like to see Jeff Locke and the whole punt team start to solidify a little bit.
That's an excellent take. I mean, it's an under-the-radar take that has impacted games. And I like Jeff a lot. I don't think he's had a very good season. And I think he would say the same thing. He had a touchback at the end of the Buffalo game that, with all due respect, was completely unacceptable. Followed it up with three touchbacks at Tampa. I think the head coach let him know after the Tampa game that's unacceptable to have three touchbacks in a game, and he responded pretty well.
Yep.
The punting at Soldier Field's difficult for everybody. And he didn't have a great game. But you know what? It really didn't impact the game. It looked like it did after the punts. But, you know, with the Bears' field position, the time of possession of that game really dictated the game. I believe in Jeff Locke just like you. I think he has it in him. I think he needs to stop overthinking things. And I think he just needs to kick the hell out of the ball. And if he does that, maybe channel his inner Mike Cyphers or Shane Leckler.
I like it.
And just boot it. Let's just go.
Let's go. Sixth and final goal over the final six games of the season.
Yes, Michael.
Establish a winning culture. And the reason I think that's important, obviously you want to win every game you play, but a lot of people, when the playoffs get out of reach, they're starting to think about the draft. They want, hey, let's lose some games and get a better draft pick. And I think there's something to that. I don't think that's completely erroneous. But I think there's also something to be said for building up a winning culture, building up belief in a coaching staff, and teaching young players how to win. So I totally hear the people who want a better draft pick. If you can't make the playoffs, get a better draft pick. But I want to win games. I want these guys to feel what it feels like to win games and to be a part of a celebratory locker room. So we walk in there after a game and we're shaking people's hands, we're high-fiving, and we get excited for next season.
Well, the lose games for better draft picks is one of the laziest, stupidest things I ever hear year-round working at the Fan. Because guess what? With all due respect, I'm glad we beat Washington because I don't want RG3. I'd rather have Teddy Bridgewater. And we finished 5-10-1 and had the ninth pick and ended up with Anthony Barr.
Right.
There's not anybody in the draft, basically, that I would rather have at this stage than Anthony Barr. I completely love him. Sammy Watkins is fantastic, and of course I would take him. But even at the 9 spot, I'm happy with Anthony Barr. Just establishing the winning culture when you have a new head coach, defensive coordinator, and offensive coordinator, I think is imperative heading into 2015. And you're here every day, and I'm here most days this week. And for you, for us to bring you behind the scenes and show you these individuals working 80 to 100 hours a week to try to find ways to win games, if you look at the anguish on their face and the consternation on their countenance after they lose and when they work with a team that's losing more than it's winning, I think it'll change your mind. Because these people take it so seriously and so personally and work so hard weekly to win one game.
Yep.
Think about them for a second. And their job security and their families and how hard they work to win games. I hope we win the rest of the games, and I'll never root for the team to lose because of draft picks.
And you have the same work ethic, Paul, on behalf of all Vikings fans and the Vikings organization. We appreciate you and all the work that you do being voice of the Vikings.
Thanks, Wobbskaw.
All right. Okay, we're up against a break, but lots more to go when we come back. You're going to hear from Garth Brooks, and you're going to hear from a Vikings alumni who is very, very good, and there's another player on the roster right now that will remind you of him, so stay tuned for that. Before we go to break, though, a programming note. Join host Mike Musman along with Vikings cornerback Captain Munnerlin for Vikings Country this Thursday at 6 p.m. at Carboni's in Lakeville. You could win great prizes, including tickets to watch the Vikings from the Miller Lite Party Deck. Visit Vikings.com/Vikings Country for more information. And please stay tuned because we have lots of great VEN content coming up. We'll be back after this. Welcome back. Everything Purple continues. I am your host, Mike Wobshaw of the Vikings Entertainment Network. More show to go, but first let me tell you about this. The excitement is building for the new stadium in 2016. It's a new home for your Minnesota Vikings, a new beginning, and new opportunities for our fans. Start your Vikings legacy today by visiting VikingsLegacy.com. Speaking of opportunities, Garth Brooks was in town, you may remember, a couple of weeks ago, and one current Viking, Kyle Rudolph, took the opportunity, and he took huge advantage of it and spent a lot of time with Mr. Brooks. Vikings Beyond the Gridiron is a documentary-style TV show. It's won Emmy Awards. It's very good, and it followed Kyle Rudolph while he was hanging out with Garth Brooks. Take a listen.
When you think of bye week plans, most players think of a tropical destination. A chance to escape the winter weather and get away from the game for a few days. Which makes spending time in a chilly ice arena even more strange. But that's what one Viking did for a portion of his bye week. But this wasn't just any day at an ice rink for tight end Kyle Rudolph. It was a day spent with one of the world's most successful musicians.
It's awesome, you know, what Garth does in, you know, his foundation, teammates for kids. You know, I got to go to the grand opening of the Child Life Zone over in St. Paul at the Children's Hospital on Friday, and then the concert last night. You know, he pulls me on stage to shoot a confetti gun because it's my birthday, and then to be out here today. So, you know, the more we can do to help Garth and help teammates, you know, it's such a great foundation that we do whatever we can.
Kyle was in St. Louis Park to see one of his biggest idols, along with helping to support the Garth Brooks Teammates for Kids Foundation, formed in 1999. And driven by Brooks, who is one of the founders, the foundation has one mission, to help kids. Teaming professional athletes, corporations, and celebrities, the foundation gives back to the next generation in a big way. The foundation was started by Brooks, with the goal of giving all kids all around the world an even start. The foundation has grown to include over 3,000 professional athletes from all the major sports, and throughout its history, Teammates for Kids has raised over $80 million to help children in over 60 countries around the globe.
It's like this all over the world. You get to put on these camps every city you go to, and thank God for these gifted athletes. I'm just the face on it. It's guys like this that work 24/7, and that's all he does is invest in children, and that's the kind of model we want to follow.
On this day, the foundation was hosting a special hockey camp for Twin Cities youth. The campers got tips from former NHL players and someone Kyle knows well, his younger brother Casey. For the Rudolph family, this was quite the experience to have all three kids taking part in this day and being able to meet and hang out with a superstar like Garth Brooks.
We came from Cincinnati, and for him to be a part of this, he loves helping the kids, but for Kyle to set that up so that he could be a part of it, it's just, it really is awesome when your kids all gel and get along, and being a mom, anytime you get your babies together, it's just, it's a win.
Our position as, you know, professional athletes, we get a lot of opportunities like this to help kids and to be a part of such cool organizations like Teammates and Pro Camps. And you know, for him to be the hockey guy in our family, to, you know, they don't want me out there on the ice. That wouldn't be a pretty sight. But to have him out there skating around, you know, teaching the kids, having fun with the kids, it's pretty cool, and I'm glad he's able to enjoy it.
While the bye weekend may not have been tropical for Kyle Rudolph, he and his family got a day they will forever remember. It isn't often you can chat with a music legend like Garth Brooks and do it while helping to influence and make a difference with our next generation.
You know, it's all about the kids, you know, whether it's football, basketball, hockey, whatever. You know, the foundation Teammates does so much across all sports, but the message is, you know, educating these kids, you know, the future generation to come. And, you know, these kids are going to grow up and they're going to be our doctors, lawyers, you know, the people that kind of run, politicians that run our country. So, you know, and to see them out there having fun, you know, it doesn't matter what sport it is. You know, you see the kids skating around having fun. So it's a blast to be here.
That's our future. Deal with them. Deal with them now. Teach them to love one another. Or you can deal with them later when they haven't got that message yet.
From a current Viking to a Vikings alumnus, Chris Dolman, he was a guest on Vikings Connected, our brand new TV show this year. One of the topics of conversation was rookie linebacker Anthony Barr. Anthony Barr reminds Chris Dolman of Chris Dolman. Take a listen.
Well, Chris, thanks so much for joining us. I want to start off first by just asking your thoughts on the Vikings so far this season. They just are coming off a bye week. What are your initial thoughts of Mike Zimmer and his team?
I will say this here, that the team is playing hard. They're fighting hard. They're doing all the right things. I know that Teddy's a little young, and we've taken a lot of injuries, you know, especially that quarterback position. You know, if we can get back into the groove, have a good week this week against the Bears, you know, I get to 5-5, I think we'd be all right.
Now, after football, you had some momentous events as well. In 2010, you started the Celebrity Charitable Foundation.
Yeah, Celebrity Charitable Network. And what that is something I'm very, very proud of. First of all, you know, Celebrity Charitable Network is a organization that was geared around helping other charities using the celebrities that were already hosting charities. We're all on a digital platform. We do a lot of different things on online, but nobody ever, you know, think about raising money online. They always use, you know, an auction or a raffle. This, you know, our company is based off of a sweepstakes. Our sweepstakes platform is called Domanity. You know, it's just something that we're able to take this experience, the chance to fly on the team jet to go to a game and be in that environment. For some lucky fan, that's a great opportunity. It's something that changed their lives. The other side is that if you ran an auction where that you had something that, you know, the guy had, you know, the opening bid was $500 to $1,000, where most people.
Everybody, welcome back to Vikings Connected. This show is all about you, so make sure you're using hashtag Vikings Connected to stay connected with us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
It's time now for our weekly guest, and we are always blessed to have great guests. And this week, we have Hall of Famer, former Viking, Chris Dolman. Well, Chris, thanks so much for joining us. I want to start off first by just asking your thoughts on the Vikings so far this season. They just are coming off a bye week. What are your initial thoughts of Mike?
Let me see if I can remember. They had Mark Bolger. They had Mark Rippon, they had Al Del Greco, they had Tim Brown, Jerry Rice. We were out there and we were all competing for money for charities. My team and I, we butted heads long ways. And I like to think of myself as kind of like a Bud Grant kind of coach. You know what I'm saying? And really, that coaching side came out of me. And not that, you know, I felt that I knew so much more about golf, because these guys played golf their whole life, but I did know a lot about competing. And we went, you know, all the way to the championship. We lost against Jerry in the championship, but we also beat Jerry during the competition. You know, we ended up, you know, coming in second place. But I was extremely proud of the group that I played with and my guys, Shannon Fish and Brian Cooper. And they did an outstanding job. as far as getting this thing, getting us to the championship.
All right, so from the golf course back to the football field, I'll ask you one last question before we let you go.
Sure.
One guy that I think is just a fierce competitor. I didn't really agree with the draft pick from UCLA because I thought he was more of an outside linebacker and didn't really fit the 4-3 scheme, but super impressed with Anthony Barr. What do you think?
You know what? I never met Anthony Barr. Don't know anything about Anthony Barr, but I seen Anthony Barr highlights before the draft. And let me tell you something. These were my exact words. That guy looks like me. My exact words. I mean, here's a guy, I think I don't like him at linebacker. I like him, you know, because they try to play me at linebacker, skip those 2 years of trying to play him at linebacker, just moving right to defensive end right now. Because he has a natural lean, he is a natural pass rusher, and with a little work, I think this guy can turn up some big, big numbers.
You think he's more impressive just as a with his hand on the ground, or he would do more damage where he's at?
I think he would do more damage with his hand on the ground. Absolutely. Because it's easy to find him. I mean, you know, they're looking around, okay, there he is. But when you're lining up there against that tackle and you're on that quarterback's blind side, you're going to pull an extra lineman there. You know, I don't like the idea. I never liked the idea, Ben, of linemen dropping. I just don't like zone dogs. And you're not going to outsmart someone. I think you let the big guys who are naturally big, who want to rush the passer, let them go ahead and rush the passer, and those who cover, let them cover.
Well, we're gonna take this video right to Mike Zimmer, and we're
yep.
gonna say
this right
is
now.
This is what Mr. HOSF thinks. So hopefully we can get that done.
Okay. Well, I would appreciate that.
Hey man, thanks for your time and congratulations on all your success, not only on the field but off.
Thank you so much.
Well, guys, I tell you what, I really appreciate this opportunity and speak to the Viking fans, and thank you for having me on the show.
That's going to do it for tonight's show. Don't forget, Vikings and Packers, they play this Sunday at noon. You can catch the game on the Vikings Radio Network. Voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, Pete Bursich, and Greg Coleman will have the call. That's it for tonight's show. I am your host, Mike Wobshaw, and on behalf of producer Grant Ridpath, we thank you for listening. We're going to leave you with some trickery. The fake punt, Andrew Sandejo getting downfield, and we wish you a good night and leave you on this good note.
Oh, it's a fake punt, and it goes right to a member of the Vikings who gives it to Sandejo, and he hits to the 50, to the 40, to the 30. Sandejo is loose, and he's taken down inside the 5. The first fake punt the Minnesota Vikings have executed since 2004 goes for 48 yards. It's first and goal, Vikings.